You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show. My name is Dennis Trufin. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about starting a YouTube channel in 2024 and why it's not too late. We're going to be talking about viewership. We're going to be talking about voices that people have, oversaturation. Yeah. We're going to be talking about topics changing, and we're also going to be talking about people retiring from the platform.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and creating freedom in your time, money, and work with the power of YouTube. And now your host, Dennis Trufin.
So here's an interesting thing when it comes to getting to a point where you create passive income through like the power of YouTube.
Yes.
You have freedom and choice
that yeah.
we talk about all the time, like freedom and money and time. So having created passive income through YouTube, which took me a couple of years.
Yeah.
We have an episode where I kind of dove in much deeper on like that whole process. It's allowed me to then look at other avenues of creating passive income. And so now I have, I would say, multiple sources that are semi-passive in some contexts and others that are still not yet fully passive, but will eventually get there.
Yeah.
And so I have an Airbnb.
Okay.
And not fully passive because there's from time to time.
Some work still.
Some work that still comes with it. But for the most part, I have other people going in, cleaning it up and taking care of it. So it's like semi-passive, I would say.
Yeah.
And then I also have investing that I do in the stock market where I not mainly focus on dividends today, but I focus on the idea of getting dividends down the road where that will be probably the most passive I can ever get in my life. And that's going to take a lot more time. So I am capable of now having multiple forms of passive income because of the one source that I have now and being able to kind of like spread that across other areas.
Yeah. Well, and I think, again, going back to the word of passive, like it still took time, energy, you know, you had to give YouTube focus in order to be able to have this now, right? And because it's, you know, you kind of create the content, you put it on the platform, now it gives you time, right? We talk about it all the time, freedom in your time to go create these other passive incomes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, which I think is awesome. And that's even where you've talked to me about it. Like, hey, when are you going to start your YouTube channel? And we've talked about that. And once I release it, because we do have a deadline, so to speak, or some goals as far as dates to hit. And once I start releasing that, and especially now that I've learned a lot of the back end, it's definitely given me a head start.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, I mean, you're kind of seeing it from the, you know, the full back end. So I think it gets you pretty excited to get started as well. And, you know, I think for those listening, like George is working with me and he's been really learning so much of the back end on YouTube because I'm teaching him what I know. Yep. And so I'm really excited for him to get that ball rolling. One of the things right now is you actually do have a business that you're running / also have a kid on the way, which is really exciting,
which is awesome. And my family won't hear this before that, which is hilarious because we still haven't told her parents or my parents.
Yeah.
And we're like so, 3 months in.
So you as the listeners know before his parents. So
yeah,
try not to tell them, please.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got a lot of things going on, but like we talked about this, like what would it have looked like if you were obviously at already a point where you were producing passive income, where you can honestly step back from the YouTube channel to then, you know, take care of your kid and spend time with them, which you're still going to be able to do. Just you'd have more freedom and choice in that aspect as well, too. And so, you know, whether it's by the time you have kid number two or, you know, other life changes that are happening, that you're going to have a YouTube channel yourself. So I'm really excited to kind of share your journey on top of, you know, what we talk about it from the Academy members, which is our, you know, coaching group where we help other people achieve, you know, being able to have passive income through YouTube by ranking their content. You know, we talk about those members as well as, you know, being able to share your journey and where you're going to be going through. So I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And it's also holding you accountable, which is one of the big things I love as well, too, because I think we get to hold each other high in these spaces because it is hard work.
You know? It's a lot of hard work, but I will say putting in the hard work that allows you to do other things, which is what you just talked about is, oh, well, now I have an Airbnb. Now the income and time, or the freedom of time, allows me to invest in other things. Like And that's the point where I think most people want to get into, especially in today's day.
I mean, you know, we're part of the Master Passive Income Network. So there's a lot of people who are wanting to do that with their real estate. And we went the Airbnb route, but there's a lot of people that do, you know, long-term rentals. And, you know, you're getting $200-$300 a month from every rental property. Like, you're building up that possibility. And I think it's honestly so incredible to have that. And I think for a lot of people who get to that point, like maybe you're somebody who's been listening to Dustin Heiner on the Master Passive Income Show for real estate, and you've built a platform, and now you're like, hey, I want to do this again in other areas. Cause what does that mean for me? It truly means that we have freedom in our choices and what we're doing and how we do it. And so for myself included, I think it's really cool to say, hey, I've done it here. Where else can I create it so I have additional sources that, you know, allow me to make even bigger decisions? Like, I'm excited to see that, you know, what's the next area that I can look into of creating passive income? Because at this point, I'm already on the path to having multiple forms of it. And some of them are a little bit smaller than others. And I think
that's okay.
And it's okay because it's about that buildup. It's about, and I know, and I'll share this constantly over and over, and I know you'll mention it too, is that creating something towards passive income takes time.
Yeah.
And if you by chance have money, you can definitely move that along faster, but that's going to cost. Yep. That's okay. But it's like, it takes time to build up. So I'm okay with, you know, like the dividend income that I have for investing is not going to be the things that I'm going to be able to draw from for another couple of years, maybe about 10 or 12 years. But when I do, it's going to be good money.
It's going to be dividends.
Yeah. Okay. It's going to be dividends from that as well too. So I'm really excited. And I think whether you're utilizing YouTube as your first passive income or it's other passive incomes, I think it's going to be really great. And I think that's going to be a great segue to get started with today's episode.
Let's get started.
So like we talked about, we're going to be talking about starting a YouTube channel in 2024. And honestly, this was so imperative when we were coming up with the title, which is why it's not too late. Because I think this is going to be a question that is popping up in people's heads. Like, you know, you look at YouTube right now, you feel like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of people, like, oh my gosh, it's 2024, you know, I should have started this 5 years ago, even a year ago. Like, I don't know if it's worth it anymore to go through. And I think we're definitely here to say that that's not the case. I don't think it's too late. I think if anything, 2024 is a great year to get started.
Yeah.
And there's many reasons for that, honestly, but I think one of the most imperative ones to realize is that YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world.
Yep. Other than
Google.
Yep.
Which, in case you didn't know, Google and YouTube owned by the same company. Indeed. And there's actually such really cool integrations between them. And we'll talk about those in future episodes as well. But there's this large amount of people that go into the platform. I think it's like over 2.7 billion active monthly users. Jeez,
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was that high.
Almost a third of the world gets onto YouTube at some point in a given month. Like, that is crazy. And so honestly, like, it really takes it into perspective to understand, like, there's so many people that you can be serving, and that and this is actually one of my points, is that, like, there's not one person can serve all these people.
No.
And part of that is because of that person's voice might not be how it relates to the person looking for that information or wanting to watch that person in any entertaining fashion as well. And I think there's this thing to be said where a lot of times we get fearful because it's, you know, so many people on the platform, but, like, your voice is unique.
100%.
The way you look, well, I mean, your voice is very unique. You got a radio voice, sir.
Radio voice.
The way that we see the world through our perspective is maybe different from the people that are already on the platform, and most likely are, I should actually say. And so you're actually helping audience members that maybe aren't relating to anybody else that's already on the platform. And I would encourage people to look within. If you're like a YouTube, you know, viewer, or you listen to podcasts, do you listen to a certain niche or topic on a podcast or on YouTube channel and listen to just one person exclusively? Or do you sometimes kind of like roam around between a couple different people in that niche, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, let's say you love surfing, right? And you listen to a surfing podcast. Do you listen to just one, or do you sometimes listen to multiple surfing podcasts? Because it's different perspectives, different ways of looking at things. And it's so unique to the individual, because they're getting to see it from your perspective and nobody else has your perspective.
Yeah. That's completely yours.
Yeah. You know, and we were talking earlier about you starting your own YouTube channel, and what you guys are looking at doing, people have already done.
100%. But I'm not very aware of that.
But not from your perspective.
No.
Not from where your guys' situation is in life. Not from your vantage point. And there's a value add there that you can't quantify in the looking out coming in.
Yeah.
But I think once you're in there and you realize that your voice matters.
Yeah.
That there could be a million people doing the same topic, but you have a special way to look at it. And I wrote it down too. I think oversaturation is overrated. So if people's excuse is, oh, it's oversaturated, I think that's overrated. I think that's an excuse that we might be using to not take forth the action to share our story, to share our point of views, to share the way we see the world. And especially if you're teaching people, like, man, you might have it a certain way to teach people that nobody else can do.
Yeah.
And there was actually a guy that I was watching for a little bit where he was teaching people how to golf, but he was doing it in song. He was singing. He was singing how to, like, how to get your stance ready and like what like the different angles mean when you're like moving your body. And I'm like, that is so unique. It caught my eye because it was different. And he's saying the same information, literally the same information that other people would be saying, like how to hold your, like how to hold a club, how to, like, you know, practice your swings and all this. But he did it in song. That was so cool.
I can't even sing in general. Yeah, so I can't imagine.
Me, I don't want to hear it. I don't think the audience wants to hear it.
Yeah. I might have a radio voice, but I do not have a singing voice.
Not a singing voice. So, but yeah, there's just like this really big power. And I wanted to really emphasize this part because I think we really get in our own heads and try to psych ourselves out by saying that it's oversaturated or that nobody cares. And I don't think that's true.
No. And let's go back to the golfing. Right. Because you just also had your first lesson.
Yes, I did.
And that just reminded me of what a golf teacher. I don't even know. Yeah. What he told you was, hey, some people might have looked at you and been like, you're only now starting to golf.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, you're X age and you're just now starting. You're way behind everybody else.
I'm 34.
Yeah.
We could say my age.
Okay. We could say. I just didn't.
I don't mind being old.
It's fine. But so like. But he was basically saying, like, no, I'm not that type of person. I actually appreciate you starting now and still trying to enjoy it and learn, because it doesn't matter whether it's 2024 or 2030. If you want to get into it, that's the best time.
Yeah. And so, and I love that you said that, because I think the same thing for anybody getting started on YouTube, right? We have Academy members that are already on YouTube. Yeah. And we have some Academy members that are like still in the process of getting their channel up and ready, getting their first videos up. I love every single stage of the process.
Yeah.
If you're somebody who's like, man, I don't even know anything about YouTube, I love it.
Yeah.
Let's talk. You're here listening to this podcast. You're on the track. You're in where you want to go. I think if you ever run into somebody who's like, oh, I can't believe you only got 100 subscribers, like, steer clear of those people, because they are not of service to other people understanding the journey that you get to go through, because it's a tough journey at times. And for me, the courage it takes to put yourself forward, to be out in the world, to share your story. Cause I mean, let's be honest, like, most people don't end up becoming like famous on YouTube, but like you still become pretty popular in a space that you're in and, you know, showing up to people. And so it takes a lot of work, and I think that's incredible. So for me, if I run into somebody, and I do this at conferences where I'll run into people and they're like, oh, I see in your channel you got, you know, so many subscribers and I only got like 1,000. I'm like, you got 1,000 subscribers?
It's actually a lot harder to hit.
Home skillet, like, hitting 100's hard. Hitting 1,000 is like, you are in like the top 10% of YouTube accounts that have been opened up.
Yeah, which,
like,
is...
It's pretty nuts. Like, it's not an easy feat, because I think what happens is maybe when we start, we're like, oh, 100 subscribers, like, that seems like unfathomable. And then you get to 100, but by the time you got there, you've already kind of worked up to it, right? So then 100 doesn't seem like a lot. So then you're like, oh, I got to get to 1,000 to feel like I got a lot. And then you get to 1,000, you're like, oh, I got to get to 10,000, then 100. Like, all of these numbers are honestly so arbitrary. Like, they don't... Subscriber count, we talk about all the time, it's a vanity number.
Yep.
It's still good to have, and there's still really good value add for it. Although it's not the end all be all of metrics on YouTube. If anything, I think it's actually the worst metric to focus on early on, at least, because there's other avenues that really lead you to success on the platform. So for me, when I see somebody at 100, at 1,000, at 10,000, like, I am just like, I'm a cheerleader. We had one of our members hit 1,000, and we talked about that, where I'm like, I'm so ecstatic about this, because the energy, the dedication, the learning, the growth, the pushing your ego aside, the failing and getting back up, like, all of these things come into play.
Yeah.
I have yet to run into a YouTuber who has gotten to 1,000, gotten to 10,000, gotten to 100,000, and hasn't fallen down and gotten back up.
Well, and him just reaching that 1,000 mark, right? Getting that monetization and everything, now he's getting paid for the content that he like created before, right? Yeah. And obviously it's just starting, so it's a big deal.
Yeah, I think in his first 20 days, because we're closing up on the month right now, I think he's going to end up with like $80, and most of that is from content he's already produced. Yeah. And it's $80 of revenue from his original content, and like I was so excited because he was like, only $80, and I was like, no sir, that's $80.
$80 extra you didn't have three, 4 weeks ago, right? Because you didn't hit that benchmark, yeah, so to speak.
And now can you imagine a year from now,
yeah, what he's going to make? Literally what we talked about.
Yeah, what he's going to make next year. I'm like, I'm so excited to see like that build up and that consistency. And then you get to the point where you're creating passive income. And it's like, I think it's one of those things where it happens. It feels like it's taking a long time to get to. And then once you hit it, it feels like it happens instantly.
It skyrockets.
It's almost like that quote of like overnight success takes 20 years. I don't think it takes 20 years anymore. I think it has shortened significantly. I think for the average person, it is something where it takes time and then it feels like it just shoots right up.
Yeah.
Like it's happened to me. It's happened to a lot of other content creators as well. So all that to say.
But that's why it's important, or why it's not too late, why it's the best year, or whatever phrase you want to use. But like even myself, I have to take in consideration like, oh, he's 6.5 years ahead of me. But where do I want to be in 6.5 years?
Yeah.
Right. But if I like totally off topic, but on topic, I got my braces. I scheduled an appointment and it was just supposed to be like does this work? Whatever. And that day I went in and I got them. And the decision was, it's either I do it today or I come back in 6 months, but then it's 6 months later.
And then still having to go through that. Yeah. Well, it's you know, what's going to be worse? If you're listening to this podcast and you're like, you know, let me wait a little bit and see, maybe psych myself in. And then by the time you psych yourself in, it's a year later.
Yeah.
What would it look like if you were starting today and where you're going to be in a year from today? Yeah. As long as you stick with it and work through all the difficult parts, listen to these podcasts, possibly join our academy if that's something.
Reach out if you run into the typical obstacles of imposter syndrome, fear of failure, like whatever it is.
Things,
like,
yeah.
Those happen, but it's what we talk about is throwing spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. Is yeah. We've talked about it before. You have not failed.
No, I failed.
I failed at two channels, but it took that third one and being consistent and putting in the work and getting over those obstacles.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's funny because the first channel, I think, by the way, I found it recently and I was like, oh, so cringe.
I love it.
I think I started in like 2014. And then the second channel that failed started in 2016. And I mean, by that point, YouTube had been around for a good number of years.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were already becoming very successful on the platform. And there were people talking about how it was possibly too late for them then.
Yeah.
And then my third channel started in May of 2017. And my gosh, there was already enough people to just make enough content for what I felt like outside of the box. Right.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh, there's already a lot of people talking about personal finance. I'm not going to be.
You've missed your mark.
I missed my mark. I missed my moment. And I don't know. Honestly, I just got so compelled to talk about it that I started not to care anymore that there was already so many people doing it. And that kind of leads us to another point of like, there's just so much content to still make out in the world. And there's still so much that people are learning and growing into. There's like, there's new hobbies. There's new ways to look at things. Again, you might have a way to look at something that nobody else is talking about. And again, even if people have talked about it, you're showing it in a different way. I do tutorials on my main channel on personal finance. Other people do that too. I just have a certain way of doing it that helps people that I am able to relate to. Not everybody, right? I've had plenty of comments say, Dennis, you talk fast. Okay, cool. No problem. I'm not going to slow down.
Turn down the speed. Just kidding.
You know, like they can go find somebody else that maybe hopefully can serve them in the best way possible. But I'm going to serve those people who are like, hey, I just need this information quick, easy, to the point, and I want to get on with my life. Cool. I got you, boo.
Correct. Like, and let's go back to it's oversaturated. Again, there's so much content to be made. And let's take a look at it this way is, can you imagine if I know we do this in college and there's one professor to like 500 students, right? But that doesn't always work, right? That's why we have teachers with one teacher to like 30 students, because it is much harder to teach 400 or 500, and those kids aren't all going to learn the same. It's the same concept. There's going to be multiple financial niche YouTube channels, but not one person is going to fit with.
Yeah. Not somebody that does it my way, though.
Correct.
Not somebody that does it my way. And what's so fascinating about that, too, was, and I want to emphasize this from my point of view, and this is not going to always be the case for everybody.
Correct.
Your main topic can change.
Yes.
And I, even though I stayed in my first, the main channel that ended up becoming successful, it's in the same niche of finance. It's not what I started off as. I started off as like a, hey, here's how I budget my money. Here's how I like make more money. Here's how I plan to invest it. Like I kind of just shared my personal journey. And then it wasn't until, geez, like two and a half, almost 3 years later, almost 3 years later that I changed the trajectory of the channel. And then that's what really took off because I looked at the data and the data told me which way I should go. And so I kind of encourage people that you're like, well, I don't know if I want to talk about this entirely. Well, go for it, see what works, and then you can continue to move forward. But I think if you wait to figure out what the exact topic is, it's going to be a year later, and then you might have wished that you've gotten started, because what's more important than like the actual topic that you're doing as you're producing content on YouTube is the education you're having for yourself of getting better with every piece of content you make, whether it's how to get better at your video recording, how to get better at your on-camera presence, editing, thumbnail design, scripting, like promoting your own content. Like all of these things are more important than the actual videos that you first produce. I joke with our Academy members. I'm like, I don't care how you produce your content at the beginning, but I need you to just get it out.
Yep.
Like I need you to release your content so that way we can figure out what's working, what's not working, and we can start fine tuning. We have a word called Kaizen. It's a Japanese word about improving your content 1% at a time. I'm not looking for great. I'm not even looking for good at the beginning. Fresh. What I'm looking for is consistency, because that's going to help us get to that point so we can figure out what we're doing. So if you're in the mindset of like, oh, it's too late for me, or I don't even know what I want to make, but I know I want to be on there. I know I want to create passive income. Well, let's get you on there, because if you're going to wait till you figure it all out, it's going to be a year later, 2 years later.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's great, because you could really look at it and be like, I'm not going to do this because I don't know if I'm going to fail at this or whatever. And that's okay, right? You have two failed YouTube channels that then led you to the third one. And even your third one, you're like, oh, this isn't working as best as I thought it would. Yeah. And the data is telling me otherwise, right? It's better to start and see what works. And then if the data tells you otherwise, go that route. Like it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
What's hurting you is maybe not jumping into it.
Yeah. Cause like I'll ask this question, right? And just like really just think about it for yourself. Like, how many times have you told yourself it's too late for anything that you're working on, right?
Yeah.
Maybe this is the second or third or fourth year that you're saying, oh, it's too late to get onto YouTube. Oh, it's too late to get onto whatever social media platform, if that's what you want to do. And so I encourage you to, you know, be really intentional with saying, okay, is it truly too late, or am I holding back because I'm fearful of the success I can have? Or maybe I'm fearful of the failure or what people would think of me. Oh my gosh, my first videos are the worst videos I have on my channel. I even just said the ones from my original failed channel are cringe. The ones on my main channel that I'm successful with are also cringe.
Which are still on there.
They're still on there. The first couple are like still relevant to the overall channel, so I left them on there. Plus, I love people going back and seeing them. Yeah. I would encourage you, look up True Financials, go to the video tab, and then tap over to oldest and just watch those first videos. The audio is terrible because I didn't know better. My on-screen presence is nowhere compared to where it's at now. No. The scripting wasn't even well done. The visuals didn't look good. And I even said the name of my channel wrong.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Like, you can't get worse than that, realistically. You know, like, it's one of those things where I'm like, I couldn't do worse if I tried. Like, I think I hit, like, to me, I'm like, that was a terrible video in the context of, you know, quality. But as far as action, it's the best video I could have ever made in my life.
Yeah.
It's the video that has led me to where I'm at today. So really ask yourself, why are you saying it's too late? Look in a little bit deeper and try to fight those voices in our heads that say that we're not good enough, that nobody's going to care. Somebody else could do it better. There's people that do it better than I do, but again, they don't have my perspective. They don't have my point of view. They don't have my way of doing it. And you're going to be in the same position. You're going to have a way of doing things that nobody else can. The only way to figure that out is to get that first video out. You're going to thank yourself.
Yeah.
You're really going to thank yourself. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. And I there's nothing more to say than your first video is probably the most important video you'll ever make. It's also probably going to be one of your worst. So it's a beautiful like symbiosis of like yin and yang kind of thing. Like
that's where I started. And it's the worst. Yeah. It's okay. Like,
It's perfectly okay. It's actually encouraged. Like, I have some of our academy members put out videos and I'm like, I think they're great. I know from their perspective, like, man, I wish I could do better. I'm like, no, this is exactly what we need.
It's where you're at right now. And yeah. It's where you need to be until we work out and work on some things. And that's totally okay. Right. Yeah. Nobody starts their profession, their sport or whatever, being the best player.
Yeah. Like, and we talk about this all the time. There are outliers for, you know, and you might see them where, oh, yes. That's like their third video and they blew up. Such outliers.
Yep.
Not the normal, not the average.
Listen, you could be one too. Great. Like, but you won't know until you start.
Yeah. Statistically, you'll most likely be on the path of the average. But I think that's a beautiful thing personally, because I was in that path as well too. And I personally was like, I didn't think I was good enough to even be in the average.
Yeah.
So I encourage people to take that action. And I think there's one other thing that doesn't get talked about a lot when it comes to like teaching people about YouTube and, you know, realizing these things. People sometimes retire from making content for whatever reason. Maybe they don't like it anymore. Maybe they are, you know, have other parts of their lives that they're moving towards, or maybe they sell the business and move on to something else and that channel doesn't make the content that they used to make, or XYZ.
Yeah.
Maybe they change the topic as well. And so there's going to be a gap in whatever the topic is, and you can be in that fill if that's what you're talking about.
Fill the gap.
Right. Like, let's say you talk about skateboards or building a skateboard. Let's say all you do is talk about building skateboards and you're one of the people that is showing up, even though there's like maybe three or four people who do it best. Maybe one of those people eventually retires or shifts gears into something else, and then you take into one of those places. I don't think people talk about that. People talk about others retiring from the platform or switching gears or talking about something else. And that like it opens up the door and you could be that person, because you just sometimes don't know when your moment comes in. Because like we talked about this before, that luck for us is kind of like opportunity meets hard work.
Yeah.
Right. Like for a lot of people, they see like, oh, this person got lucky. But we didn't see all the work that went in to get to that point where it might seem lucky to you. But to them, it's an opportunity that came about.
Correct. And I'd rather be prepared for that opportunity than for the opportunity to come up. And I don't have anything to offer.
Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and wait for something to come to me. I'm gonna work hard, and then when it comes to me, I'm gonna be able to take action on it, because I've had that happen in my life personally before, and you know the stories. And I think in this case as well too, it's true with YouTube as well. A great example, my main channel, when I pivoted over, I was doing just regular finance stuff, and then I went over to tutorials, and then a year later, all the GameStop craze happened. Yeah. For people that know about like the investing stock with GameStop and like how it blew up, there were a few weeks that the amount of views, income, subscribers, and everything else that I gained was just mind-boggling for me. Some of those numbers, I still haven't hit like past those, because it was just so insane for just like a short period of time. Had I not been in a space where I was already a guide and a tutorial person for this topic and this, I wouldn't have had my older videos blow up in that time, because they wouldn't have existed.
Yep.
And I think that's so true with everything else. Like, we don't know when certain things become, you know, popular again, or like interested again. Like, it's things come in waves. And so, you know, sure, yeah, the investing side of things kind of slowed down for a while thereafter, but like, I'm so glad that I was in the position to have content available for people, you know, for whatever the topic is. You might be that person who has content in the back catalog that will eventually spark interest for people.
Correct. And if we just go back and catch what he said, is if he would have started even 6 months later or a year later, or depending on what that time frame was, I don't know the exact, but he could have missed out on that that wave, so to speak.
I wouldn't have been ready.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have had the content. I wouldn't be ready to make the new content that also came out like during that time, because I was skilled. Here's my favorite story. I don't think I told you this one.
Yeah, because you've never told me like, oh, this is my favorite story. So let's hear it.
Okay, this is one of my favorite stories. And okay, so there was this whole thing happening with like all the stock market stuff. And so there was, I was doing research on like making a ranked video content piece.
Yeah.
And I was typing in how to like the YouTube search. And so like, in case you don't know, when you start typing in things into like the search bars, whether it's on Google or YouTube, it'll like pre-populate with some like things that people are searching for. Like those are actually, and those we talk about a lot, those are like the tips of like knowing what to make.
Yeah.
Because if it's popping up, like, that's being searched.
People are asking those questions.
So usually when you type in how to, it's always how to tie a tie, how to tie your shoelaces, like how to do like some very basic things. And there was I was typing in how to, and there was something that popped up that was related to my content.
Yeah.
Like investing. And I remember, I was like, maybe I typed in something wrong. So I deleted it. I retyped in how to on Google instead of YouTube this time. and the same thing popped up. And I was like,
interesting.
What? Let me dive in a little bit deeper. So I took a few more minutes to like research it. And I was like, okay, let me make this content because I know this information. I know how to solve this problem, this how-to problem for people. So I went to my wife and I was like, she plays the piano at home all the time. And I was like, I need you to stop playing for like 5 minutes, please.
Because that's all it's going
to
take.
That's all it's going to take me to record this piece of content. And I was like, and I never, never like to ask people to like to be quiet. I usually record like at night or when no one's home. So I was like, please, just 5 minutes. So I run over to my office and like I'm sitting there, got everything recorded. Because again, I was prepped for all of this to happen. And I record the video, I edit the video, I upload it, and I release it like the second it's done.
Yeah.
Because I have everything already ready to go. Got a good thumbnail based off of my averages and where I was. And this was, again, part of that peak of like craze during the GameStop investing situation. To the best of my knowledge and with everything I could calculate, I made about $15,000 with that video. Now, that's not passive because that happened instantaneously within like a day or two.
Yeah.
Well, majority of that came in a day or two. And it was only because I was prepped and ready to be able to take action on that.
Yeah.
Because I had everything set up. If that was the first video I ever made, that thing probably wouldn't do what it did.
No.
Because YouTube wouldn't know who I was. It wouldn't have like an audience to go to and all of these other metrics. And I'm not like gloating about like how much I made. I was shocked.
Yeah.
Like that was insane.
Jaw hit the floor.
Yeah. And it was incredible. And I felt really good because I was serving an audience. I was supporting it where I was best at already. Because at that point I had been doing tutorials exclusively on the channel. And so like for me, it was like my moment was here and I took action and I was rewarded. And some people might be like, oh, you got lucky. Well, did I? Or did I put in the work? And did some
opportunity came up?
And that's the first time I shared that story. And again, I don't gloat with the numbers. I want to inspire other people to say, you don't know when your time for your topic, for your niche is going to come in to play. It might be popular now and it might be kind of, you know, on the back burner of popularity, but it might shoot back up. Who knows?
Yeah.
It could show up for you.
And again, that just goes back to is like why would we say it's important to start sooner than later, right? Is because you don't want to miss out on those opportunities. You want to start now. So that way the year from now or 2 years from now, whatever it looks like, if that opportunity comes up, you're there or you're at a place where you do have more of a passive income and you can take a little bit more time to go do your hobbies or work a little bit less somewhere else or whatever it is. Cause I mean, going back to like my wife's pregnant, we just talked about like, oh, I don't have maternity leave or I don't have any of this. It's like, okay, what can I do now to set my, she's doing like 6 months, but what can I do now to set myself up 6 months from now? So that way I can take off because guess what? I want to do that, yeah, right?
The opportunities that can come for you. And it could play out on YouTube or in any other avenue that you're taking with this as well. And one little side note too.
Let's hear it.
That video doesn't get a lot of views anymore because it's not as relevant.
Yeah.
It still makes me passive income.
So it is passive.
It is. I mean, the amount that I made in the couple of days was not passive necessarily. Although I did invest a good chunk of that. It is still getting views and it still generates ad revenue. Every once in a while, I'll get affiliates from that video as well, yeah, too. So it's a really good place to be in. So, George, I'm going to ask you a quick question.
Let's go.
Starting a YouTube channel in 2024. Is it too late?
No. And this conversation actually just kind of put a little fire in me a little bit, too. Is like I've pushed it off because I got so many other things going on, truthfully. You know, right? But how long am I going to let that excuse fly? Truthfully, and I'm speaking to myself, not to you guys. I'm speaking to myself because we let the day of life keep going, right? Work, family, businesses, whatever it is. But I don't want to sit in front of you or in front of somebody else like 6 months from now and be like, well, why didn't you start it? You talked about it. Like, I don't want there to be an excuse. Now, if I start it and it fails, great. I'm okay with that.
We're going to have a whole episode talking about failure because I love failure so much.
Yeah. And I've talked to my wife about that. Like I'm at a point in life where I'm okay with failure because I could take those hard lessons and learn from them and be like, okay, what's the next channel that might work? Maybe the one you and I have talked about doesn't work for me. Great. I won't know until I release my first handful of videos and some to let the data tell me, actually, yeah, you are great in that. Or hey, you need to change that.
And I'll close off with this. You know, for me, knowing what I know now, knowing where I've been and where I got to, I would definitely say that it's not too late. If anything, I think honestly 2024 is the best year to get started. I think there's so many things in the favor of somebody getting started in this space.
Yeah.
If so many people are wondering or thinking that it's too late and you think that opposite, I think you're going to have an advantage. I think you're going to be able to take a leg up, and I think you're going to be in a position that 6 months from now, a year from now, even when you're in the mud of it, you're going to be thankful that you got started, because who knows what opportunities are going to come forward to you that to others might seem lucky, but to you, you had the opportunity to take action.
You put in the work.
So I'm excited. It's going to be a great year. I think 2024 is one for the books for everybody, including you, George, including myself, including anyone listening that's going to get started with actually taking action and putting out their first worst video ever.
Yeah. And if you do start one because of this podcast, let us know.
Yeah. Reach out to us in the email. We have an email in our show notes. So send us an email. Let us know, hey, what your channel is. We'd love to just check it out and see what you're all about. And, you know, we got plenty of episodes here on the podcast that you can go back to and listen. The first 10 are really kind of a blueprint of what getting a channel started off the ground is all about. And then we're really just diving into different topics, things that we're working on and focusing on, and things that we see of value for you as a listener to be able to take action on and create a passive income and a life that you want to have, so you can create freedom in your time, your money. Thank you again for listening to the YouTube Passive Income Show, which is part of the Master Passive Income Network. Now, in this episode, we talked a lot about some resources, which we'll have linked up in the show notes down below for you, including our 7 days to uploading your first YouTube video, which is going to be a checklist that's entirely free for you to utilize, again, in the show notes down below. Have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you next week.